Now we're starting Daf Yud Aleph. Rabbi Amar Rav Shimon Brei. So Rabbi said to his son Rav Shimon, "Alei havei lanu gragas min hachavas. Go bring us some dried figs from the barrel." Amalei. So Rav Shimon said to his father, "Veinu asur mishum muktza. Aren't they asur because of muktza? In other words, this must be Shabbos, right? This took place on Shabbos. That's what it says in footnote one. So Amalei va'adayin atlazu. You still need to learn this teaching? Are you not yet familiar with this teaching? There's nothing that's also because of muktzah besides figs and grapes that were put out to dry. Right? So, fresh or dried figs and grapes are suitable for use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But when you put the fresh figs out to dry, they become unfit for use during the drying process. So they're muktzah, according to all opinions, even according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who in general holds that there's no it's a muktzah, but this is muktzah v'yadayim. So he's for sure masking with this. So what he's asking, what Rebbe is saying to Rav Shimon is, these gregorists are in the chavis. They're not part of this small group of exceptions. Rav Shmuel bar Sisritai, and they say Masrichas Bentayim, the figs and grapes are put out to dry, become foul smelling. So while they're drying, but the figs that I asked you to bring down have already completely dried and were therefore placed in the barrel, so those are no longer going to be a problem for muktzah. Rav Zei Rabbi Kumi Rabbi Yasa. Is it not reasonable to assume that the incident where he asked them to bring it down involved split figs, which frequently become foul-smelling? So the seventh says that if they were completely, totally fit for consumption, the Reb Shimon would not have even had a havamina to say if they were muktzah. So therefore, it's reasonable to assume that we're talking about split figs, which frequently become foul-smelling, and are suitable for consumption, are unsuitable for consumption until they harden. So he thought these were shayach to Issa Muktzah. Amalei panasim arkeis, and I also hold like this. That was the same. That you're right. That's probably what the case was. Also, Rabbi Yosef Rabun, Rabbi Yosef Bar Bissam Shem Rabbi Yochanan, and they said, "Be'ilein putzulai haba ubda." That you're actually right. In other words, the incident involves split figs. Amalei in lachasim mishum muktzah l'tein manav avad. That therefore the split figs were not considered muktzah. Rabbi Yaakov Azavdi b'shem Reb Avuhu hadotah temelin in Shabbos. So that we're talking about Shabbos. That is to say, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's considered one second, over here, he's saying something. He's trying to compare this to Meiser, okay? So maybe it was only figs and grapes that are muktzah. In other words, other foods would not be considered muktzah, they would be considered processed. But, le'inyan Meiseris, kol adram yeshlan muktzah. When it comes to Meiseris, as long as you haven't reached the intended final stage, then it's considered incomplete and not. When it says Yesh Lan Muktzah, it doesn't mean L'gabi Shabbos. It means L'gabi Maisras. It would be considered incomplete, and therefore it's not considered Gmar Malacha. So it would be Mutar on Shabbos, but you might be considered not Lagna Gmar Malachta as far as Maisras is concerned. Okay. That's what he says in 9, that the Gemara Malacha stage is reached only when you've reached the final step in his intended processing. Okay, so if you're going to put it into a barrel, for example, and you plan on filling up the barrel, it's until you finish filling up the barrel. if it's if the final step is going to be when you put the, you're going to glaze it, so that'll be the final step. Whatever it is, it's always going to be what you consider the final step. So it's not, there's no comparison between Muksa of Shabbos and the thing of Nigmar Malachto Lagavi Meiser. The Nigmar Malachto Lagavi Meiser requires much more. That's what it seems to be saying here. We see that from the Mishnah itself. Because same thing as by pressing the figs into the barrel or in the storeroom. And they're surely fit to the extent they're considered non-muksa in regard to Shabbos. But it says they're only deemed processed when they're pressed into the barrel, smoothed down. So you see, even when they're fully edible, if you still have more processing, it's not going to be nigmar malachto. That's pasha. The Mishnah says, what? If you press figs into the barrel and it broke, then you can eat it. That you can't eat it, rather. And Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter. In other words, the Tanakhama holds, once it reaches nigmar malachto, it has an iser. Rabbi Yossi says it reverts back to the pre nigmar stage once it breaks out of its barrel. Rabbi Yochanan, Divrei Shoyna Rishon, according to the words of the first Tana, let's say Tana Kama, Lo Tachton Tzarech La'Elyon, the bottom batch of figs don't need the figs at the top. Lo Ha'Elyon Tzarech La'Tachton, and the top figs don't need the bottom. Meaning, it's totally, once it's placed in there, it becomes Nigmar Malachto. You don't say it's Lo Nigmar Malachto until you fill the whole barrel. Divrei Shoyna Acharon, but the last Tana, meaning Rabbi Yossi, Hatakhtan Tzarech La'Elyon, the batch of figs at the bottom of the barrel need the figs at the top of the barrel. Below Ha'Elyon Tzarech La'Tachton, this is not important. It's not exactly clear what the Gemara is trying to add this Below Ha'Elyon Tzarech La'Tachton for. I think they ask about this. In 14, he says the point seems to be that although the batch at the bottom, at the top, does not need the batch at the bottom, the batch at the bottom is deemed to need the batch at the top. Okay. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, the figs already pressed into the barrel or storeroom are not deemed to have reached Gemar Malacha until the other figs are pressed on the top. If it's damaged before that occurs, then it's no problem. Let's go to Yud Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara identifies who that Tana is. Who's the Tana Kama? So Amar Rav Lazar, Dura Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. In other words, normally we say Yachid Rav Halakha Rabim. But over here, since the Tana Kama is Rav Meir, so it's Rav Meir Rav Yossi, and Halacha is like Rav Yossi. Okay, so the Rav Meir Stama Rav Yossi, he Halacha is Stama. You shouldn't say that it's a Stam Mishnah and Rav Yossi, and therefore the Halacha will be like the Stam. The film King Sarak Meir, Rav Meir, he, therefore he had to say that it's actually Rav Meir, Rav Meir Rav Yossi, Halacha Rav Yossi. So you could eat the figs in a casual way if they fell out of the barrel. Hadron Loch Klal Amru. We start the new parak, parak base. Halacha 1. Hayyavir Bashuk. Just a way of Agdama here. This is just to remind us that there's a din of re-ispnei habayis. There's also a din that something could be nigmar malachto by having it smoothed over, or there's a whole list of things, such as Shabbos makes Gemar Malacha, Mechar makes Gemar Malacha, the fire, the ash cooking, it makes Gemar Malacha, I think salting. There's a bunch of things that make Gemar Malacha, like six things. But all those are a din d'rabbanan. The point of that is that if you're planning on selling it in the market, so anything that indicates a Gemar Malacha in the field, that means it's now ready to go to market, we consider that a Gemar Malacha because since if you were approached by a buyer, you would sell it to him even in the field. So the Chacham is saying that that's considered Gemar Malacha. That's a Din D'Rabbanan. If you're planning on not bringing it into the field, you're planning on bringing it home, then those things don't create Gemar Malacha even under D'Rabbanan, and it won't be Nigmar Malacha until you reach home. That's what you need to know as a Yisod here in the beginning of this parak. So Hayayu B'Shuk. You have an Am Haaretz passing through the marketplace, and he says to a group of people, take yourself some of my figs to eat. They can eat it, and they're exempt from taking off any mitzvahs because we assume the figs were never brought to the owner's house. Therefore, if they brought these figs home into their own houses, then they have to do, it's considered definite tevel. It's not even a sofik. But if he says, if he doesn't say eat it here, he says take it to your house and eat it, then they shouldn't eat it. All right? Because we assume that if he had previously brought it to his own house, and as far as being mafresh, trumas, and maestras, as far as maestras is concerned, we would not believe him. So if they bring it to their own house, and it was talking about demai, then it had a lach like demai. Now, I don't think it has to be brought to their house for this to be a problem. If we're afraid that the Am Haaretz brought it to his house, they obviously can't eat it, all right, even before bringing it home. I think it's just I got the ratio. Let me just check this. Yes, I do believe that's correct. Basically, in 5, he's saying that the Am Haaretz is believed to say that these have been brought to his house. So it's a kind of like Pagin and Dibura type of thing. We believe him that he brought it to his house. We don't believe him that he fixed it, and therefore you have to fix it as the Mai. But Avada, if he brought it to his house, then you wouldn't be able to eat it all right, even in the field. So I don't think that the bringing it home is an important point here. Okay. If a group of people were sitting in a gateway of the courtyard or in a store, for Amar and a passing Amar had said to them, take some of my figs. They can eat the figs in a casual manner and are exempt. But the owner of the store is obligated. Unless the point is that the store is all also considered Rayap Dehabayas. Repeated by Darshiyatra as Panov, he holds it unless he turns his face away from the Tzibor, or actually Shana Makomi Shivasa to change his seating position. The point is that if he won't eat it in front of other people, then that's not called Rayap Dehabayas. Rayap Dehabayas means that I've reached a point where I can eat it privately. Here he says over here, in 9, Rabbi Yehuda maintains a courtyard or store does not establish a tithing obligation unless it shares the characteristics of a house in offering privacy. So that's the way you're not embarrassed to eat. It's remarkable how this is like common knowledge, and people would not feel comfortable eating in front of other people. Nowadays, this entire concept has to be revisited in terms of, you know, how a person eats. I remember hearing when the Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, his name escapes me offhand, but he had this thing that it was a long day and they'd gone collecting all day long or something like that. And he hadn't had a chance to eat. And the owner, the driver, had offered him something to eat. And he said, you want me to eat in the car? That would be completely unthinkable. And he insisted that they go home and set up a regular meal in a bakavadaka ifen. This is an old standard of not eating in public. Anyway, with this, we end Daf Yud Aleph.